Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP Studios, this is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the Michelle Mortensen Show. What a crazy week this has been. I feel like it's been one of the longest weeks we've had in a very long time. And we have a ton to get over today. We have a ton to talk about. So if you want to add in on the conversation, be sure to call in 702-468-9729. But let's get right down to it, because the one word we've heard far too much this week is unity. That's right. We've heard a lot about unity. We've heard about how we have to unify, how we have to come together as a nation. And it's actually a whole bunch of crap. I mean, even Bill Clinton couldn't sit through the unifying message that Biden tried to give during his inaugural address. Watch this.
As citizens, as Americans, and especially as leaders, leaders who have pledged to honor our Constitution and protect our nation.
Oh, yeah. Did you see him dozing off there? Couldn't stay up for it either, because he knows that it's utter crap and that speech was not this, you know, it didn't make tingles go up and down your leg. I mean, that's what the media said, and we will get to that shortly. But it was a boring speech, and it was talking about unity while calling some Americans freaking white supremacists, nationalists, and using angry terminology as such. And here's the problem. This unity message is utter crap, because what they mean by unity is do what I say, do what I want, and don't complain. I mean, President Biden really stressed that on technically day two when he spoke to the media. It was yesterday. It was about masks. Take a listen.
The masks have become a partisan issue, unfortunately, but it's a patriotic act. But for a few months to wear a mask, no vaccines. The fact is that they're the single best thing we can do. They're even more important than the vaccines because they take time to work.
Oh, see, it's your patriotic duty. See, I said you have to wear a mask for 100 days on in federal property, and when you're on a bus and when you're on a plane. You just need to do that. It's your patriotic duty. Don't challenge this. This is just common sense. Don't have your own opinions. Don't have your own thoughts. See, that's what the unifying message is. The unifying message is do what I'm asking you to do. Even though he doesn't follow his own instructions, he doesn't follow that. Yes, we're going to go into that a little bit later, but let's stay on track right now with this nasty unifying message, because it's everywhere. It's pervasive. He said, hey, let's unify, when the only things he's done while he's been in office has been overturning everything the Trump administration did. And actually, in a time where we have had jobless rates going up to 900,000 in a week, he canned a whole bunch of people with the Keystone Pipeline. And when Ted Cruz asked the transportation secretary about this, the response was absolutely disgusting. Take a listen.
And with the stroke of a pen, President Biden has told those 11,000 workers, those union workers, your jobs are gone. Mr. Buttigieg, what do you say to those workers whose jobs have just been eliminated by presidential edict?
Well, I think the most important thing is to make sure that we make good on the promise of the president's climate vision as being one that, on net, creates far more jobs, millions, we hope. I know that won't just happen. We'll have to do a lot of work to make sure that's real. But getting this right means ensuring that there are more good-paying union jobs for all Americans delivered through that infrastructure vision.
So for those workers, the answer is somebody else will get a job?
The answer is that we are very eager to see those workers continue to be employed in good-paying union jobs, even if they might be different ones.
So the answer is, yeah, we got rid of your job and we hope that you just get a different one. Yeah, you might do something else entirely, but as long as we create another union job for you, it's all A-OK. Yes, because the best thing to do in the middle of a economic recovery is to can people. That's right. To get rid of their jobs, to just hand them a stimulus check and say, see, here's $1,400 more. We're taking care of you. No. Not reopen the economy, not get people their jobs back, not getting people working again. In fact, the first move the Biden administration has done has to been to fire people. How is that unifying anything? Really? Oh, the Democrats and Biden are also taking this opportunity to say that all you extremists out there, we need to rein you in. And do you want to know who they think are extremists? My God, they think it's libertarians. Listen.
The members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas, mm-hmm. where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians.
Wow. Did you know that libertarians are linked right up there with religious extremists and nativists and fascists and authoritarians? Libertarians are the free speech people. Libertarians are the ones who are like, hey, you do you, boo, but let me do me. Libertarians are not insurrectionists. Libertarians are not freaking domestic terrorists. But see, this is the language from the left, that if you aren't a part of the left, you, my friend, are a domestic terrorist. Meanwhile, there are actual domestic terrorists the day that Joe Biden is sworn in as president over in Seattle and in Portland who are breaking up the place and burning things down. And I'm sorry, have we heard anything? Let me listen closely. Have we heard anything from the left about that? By golly, Miss Molly, no, we haven't. In fact, where was all the outrage? Where was all the outrage for what happened in Seattle and Portland? Oh man, that's really peculiar. Not one word from those Democrats, but man, they'll constantly bring us up, these conservative, white supremacist, racist libertarians. Yeah. That's the real problem. You're right. You're absolutely right. How did I get that all wrong? See, rioters, the Capitol rioters on January 6th, they're bad people. But God, that Antifa in Seattle and Portland, God love them. We're just not going to say anything about any of that. See, none of this brings unity. Unity is saying white supremacists are bad, just as Antifa is bad, but you aren't automatically an Antifa or a white supremacist because of the political party that you belong to. See, that would be a more unifying message. My God, even Nancy Pelosi, she thinks that the impeachment is going to unify us, that impeaching former President Trump, that's the way that we're all going to join arms and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Is she insane? First off, I have no idea why Nancy Pelosi is delivering the articles of impeachment to the Senate on Monday, which means they immediately have to go into trial mode. And you've got Chuck Schumer saying, oh, yeah. Like, I think we can do this the first 2 weeks of February, where then the Senate has to meet every single day for 6 days a week at 1 p.m. to do an impeachment trial. And you've got every Democrat in the world lying to you saying, obviously, we can do two things at once. We can chew gum and walk at the same time. We can impeach former President Trump and do the business of the Congress. That's a lie. If you're stupid enough to believe that, I have some lakefront property over on Lone Mountain for you. Because here's the deal. They can't. We saw that a year ago during the impeachment trial where they were so obsessed with the impeachment and only focusing on the impeachment that they kind of forgot about this whole thing called COVID. Remember that? Remember that? Remember how long it took them to get a COVID stimulus package? Yeah, it took forever. And then let me just remind you of this. In 2017, when Republicans had the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, do you remember how much they got done that year? You don't? Let me remind you. They got one thing done in December, and it was called tax reform. Oh, see, Congress has never been good at multitasking or getting anything done at the same exact time. So they want to actually do something that probably isn't even constitutional if we really do a deep dive into this one. And they want to impeach former President Donald Trump just so he can't ever run for office again. I don't think he's ever going to run for office again. But they just want to put that nail in the coffin. And they're doing it for one reason, because they know they don't have the votes. They are trying to destroy the Republican Party. They want to create as much damage, as much carnage as they possibly can. They want all of those senators who vote for this trial, for this impeachment, they want them all, if they're up for re-election in 22, to have an opponent. And they want to make sure that everyone's kind of put on the list there. And the media, my God, they just want to be able to talk about Donald Trump even more, because already they're like, oh God, wait, Donald Trump's gone. I'm so bored. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to do? I don't know. So they need to impeach him so they have something interesting to put on the air, because already the Biden administration is showing that it is as boring as watching paint dry. This is just a huge scam. There's no unity anywhere in any of this. There's no unity in saying, do as I tell you and don't challenge me. That's actually what a fascist authoritarian dictator does. And Donald Trump never did that. Donald Trump never said, obey me or else. But the Democrats actually say that all the freaking time. In fact, the only thing I've actually seen any unity on was the way that our National Guard members have been treated in DC. Have you seen this? They were sleeping in a parking garage. Show Tim Scott's first. Tim Scott's is the important one, because Tim Scott's, when he tweeted about this, Senator Tim Scott, he showed them literally in a parking garage, laying on top of one another with one freaking bathroom. One freaking bathroom. That was it. Only one. Do you have that one? Okay, he's getting it. One freaking bathroom all night long. And it brought so much outrage that the governor of New Hampshire, the governor of Florida, and the governor of Texas all said, heck no, 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 we're bringing our troops home. And then you had Kristen Sinema, the Democrat from Arizona, say, this is ridiculous. My office is available. You can come and stay in my office. This is shameful. And then Mark Kelly, another Democrat from Arizona, said, heck yeah, this is disgusting. This is unacceptable. It must be fixed. Wow, we finally agree on something. And you know how the Biden administration responded? You're going to love this. It was just on TV a few minutes ago. Mrs. Biden went out there with a basket and it was full of candy, and she gave candy to the troops to say, gosh darn it, we appreciate you. And they took a picture. Ah, my God. I'm just feeling the love for our U.S. military there, aren't you? I mean, like, that gave me tingles down my freaking spine. I mean, the first lady gave him candy. That makes it all better. Can you imagine right now if Donald Trump or Melania Trump had gone out there to the National Guard and handed them candy and did a photo op? Could you imagine what would be said right now? Could you imagine? Oh my God, they'd be losing their freaking minds. Nancy Pelosi would come out and say, this is disgusting. I can't believe they did this at the photo op. Let me tell you, Nancy Pelosi and all those Democrats are two-faced liars, because see, the entire time in 2020 when America was burning down to the ground, they didn't want those National Guard troops there. No, they're sending a bad signal. They're like stormtroopers. That's what Nancy Pelosi called them, stormtroopers. Oh, but now that their British capital was raided, oh, clutch my pearls, I'm so scared. I need the National Guard. And you needed them for optics for Biden's inauguration. And as soon as you were over it, you were like, yeah, you can go sleep in a parking garage. Oh, here's some candy. It's all better now. Everyone knows that was repugnant. See, this is why we don't have any unity, because it's basically all about narrative. We give a crap ton of narrative to you. Democrats are giving you narrative saying, you need to do what we say about COVID. You need to follow the science. Oh, if we were going to follow the science, we would know that cloth masks don't work and our kids would be back in school. If we were going to follow the science, we would know that there are only two genders. If we were going to follow the science, we know that a fetus has a heartbeat by about 8 days. But see, we only follow science when it fits our narrative, because that's what Democrats do. And then Democrats in the media go after you, conservative voices, and say, see, you're the rebel rousers. You're domestic terrorists. You're insurrectionists because you just don't believe everything we believe in. You're not doing what we say. Okay, Pablo Escobar. Thanks. Thanks. Really appreciate that. This unity message is absolute and utter crap. We will not have unity until you have freedom of speech. You will not have unity until you have a press that you can actually believe. You will not have unity until you start looking at people as people. And let me tell you what every politician in America does right now. They look at the people across the aisle from them as the enemy. Democrats look at you as the enemy. And Republicans, many of you look at Democrats as the enemy. When you see your fellow man as the enemy and not their ideas as wrong, but you just see them as an actual enemy that needs to be stopped, there ain't no unity there, because community creates unity. And when we have community, I can be friends with a Democrat. I can be friends with a flaming liberal. I can be friends with a socialist and not want to hate them, destroy them, silence them, and kill them. Because I know how to be a decent human being. But pretty much when you become a politician, being a decent human being goes out the window. And all that matters is you winning. And Biden, Chuck Schumer, Pelosi, they show us that all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. Republicans do it too. Republicans absolutely do it too. They've done it in the past. They'll do it again. All politicians will. That's what I'm trying to get through your head. Politicians aren't for you, buddy. They're for themselves. Their unity message is just, do what I say and nothing more. And it's crap. So you better start recognizing that. All right, we've got to take a quick break, because when we come back, we are going to do a deep dive in why no one trusts the media anymore. And I've got examples to prove you exactly why. But it is Friday, so let's rock out to a little bit of The Cure, Friday I'm in Love, before we take our commercial break. We'll be right back. Monday, you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, break my
Want to learn to scuba dive? Need swimming lessons for your kids? Then you need to check out Stone Sports in Las Vegas, right off Fort Apache in Tropicana. At Stone Sports, they teach the young and the young at heart. Whether you're looking for fun, fitness, or competition, Stone Sports is the place for you and your entire family. Give them a call today at 702-779-3021, 702-779-3021, or check them out online at stonesports.net. Stone Sports, where water safety and water fun meet.
LadylikeClothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. LadylikeClothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at LadylikeClothing.com.
We give game day a whole new meaning. But that won't happen to us, 'cause it's always been a matter of trust.
Ah, Billy Joel, a matter of trust. Let's talk about trust for a minute, if we shall, because guess what? Most Americans don't trust the media whatsoever. Trust in traditional media has declined to an all-time low, and many news professionals are now finally determined to do something about it. Isn't that amazing that, like, oh, I don't know, beginning of the Biden administration, they're like, yeah, totally. Let's work on that now. Let's work on that trust. Okay, why does this matter? Faith in society's central institutions, especially in government and the media, is the glue that holds this society together. And that is absolutely true. But right now, 56% of Americans agree with the statement that journalists and reporters are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know that are false or gross. And 56% think that most news organizations are more concerned with supporting an ideology or a political position than with actually informing the public. Huh. I wonder, why do they think that? Well, why don't we just look at a quick clip from MSNBC and maybe that might explain it. I don't know. Let's watch.
Let me say one other thing before you let me go. You know, there's been a lot of people pulling for this. Your help has been extremely important because not only have you continued to amplify some of the things that we're trying to do here, but you've been in the weeds and you've talked about the very policies that have been knocking around for a long time and that we've finally been able to get together and put into a plan. So I want to thank you for your advocacy as well.
What? What? Wait a minute. That wasn't an MSNBC news anchor being complimented by a member of the Biden team for thanking you. Thanks so much for your hard work and being right there in the weeds with us to get our message across. Isn't that exactly a news anchor being so entrenched with a political party that they use their platform to spew out that political party's platform as truth and God's given word? Well, gosh darn it, I actually think it is. I actually think it is. You know, Spence, I want to skip something real quick and go to the CNN tweets real quick. Maybe part of that is because CNN has also been actually spreading fake news. Look at this. This was a tweet from Ari Fleischer. Fauci debunks CNN's reporting saying Biden's vaccine rollout not starting from scratch. I thought the Biden administration was dedicated to the truth. CNN should, whoever lied to them anonymously to peddle this story, should be calling about it. Bring up the next tweet because that was supposed to be the first tweet, this one. There we go. CNN has reported on air today a total of 23 times that the Biden administration has had to start from scratch. And then Dr. Fauci gets there and he's like, I don't know what you're saying. That's not really true. That didn't happen. I don't know how that happened. So you're telling me that, like, on day one of the Biden administration, CNN spent the majority of its time spreading a fake news story to trash the Trump administration and to give us false sympathy for the Biden administration. Hello. If that is not pushing forth a political agenda, if that is not the absolute epitome of fake news, I don't actually know what is.
It's all fake news.
Fake news.
Yes, when you make up a story that is not true and you put it on the news knowing it's not true in order to purport an agenda, a narrative, that is what is fake news. And we've been dealing with it a lot. Normally, it was against Trump because they just all hated Trump so much. But now that Trump's no longer there to beat him up, their fake news story was, oh, Trump just screwed everything up so badly. Blah, 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 blah. They can't do that anymore. They absolutely cannot do that anymore. That is a huge problem. And this is why people have no trust. Let's just also remember that Jen Psaki, the brand new chief White House press secretary, thank you, can't think of her name. She was left kind of dumbfounded and speechless when she was finally challenged on something.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural
Lincoln Memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country. And certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
Oh, so when she's called out on President Biden absolutely being a total and utter hypocrite on the very day that he signed a mandate that you must wear a mask on federal property, and he wasn't wearing a mask and neither was his family, and they were all ripping it off. Her response was, well, you know, they were celebrating it as a special day. I really don't have more to say on that. What she was really saying was this.
Damn, you're burning. I got nothing.
Damn, I got burned. I got nothing. That's what she was saying. And Pete Ducey, do you want to know what Pete Ducey was saying? He was saying this.
Damn, you just got served.
You just got served. Exactly. That's what he was saying, because he was called out big time for the hypocrisy. Because all we've heard from Biden over the years and from the liberal media is we need to have an example that Donald Trump, he is such a bad example. He isn't wearing his mask. Oh my God. He had these events. He was around people who weren't wearing masks. Faux outrage, faux outrage, faux outrage, faux outrage. But when Biden does it, it's totally okay. Because, you know, he's Biden and he's old and forgetful. And, well, he's president now, so none of that matters anymore. This is why people do not trust the media whatsoever. Do you want to know what else is interesting? When the media actually tried to challenge Joe Biden, because he said, hey, we're going to do the 100 million vaccines. And a journalist had the audacity to say, but that was kind of the Trump's plan. Like, this isn't bigger. Shouldn't you aim higher? This is what we got from him.
Is that high enough? Shouldn't you set bar higher? That's basically where the U.S. is right now.
When I announced it, you all said it's not possible. Come on, give me a break, man.
That's
a good start. 100 million. Thank you.
Come on, man. Don't ask me a question. I'm going to get up slowly and walk away like I'm outraged, and I'm not going to take any media questions. That should not be a surprise to anyone, because Biden has never taken any media questions. He really hasn't. Remember that interview he did beforehand, before he became officially president, with Stephen Colbert, was an interview with a late night talk show host, B-list comedian. And when Kamala Harris finally did an interview with Jane Polly for CBS Sunday Morning, there was lots of hard-hitting questions like, why do you wear Chucks? If you want to know why no one has any trust or faith in the media, that's why. That's why. Because they're not telling you the truth. We don't have a misinformation problem as much as we have a trust problem. Oh, sure, there's misinformation all the time. Sure, there's lies and there's fake news. But the majority of our problem right now is that Americans don't trust anything they hear on TV. They don't trust anything they see on social media. They don't trust one bit of it. And that is a huge and massive problem. And we're not really going to be able to heal. We're not going to be able to unify. We're not going to be able to get better. We're not going to be able to accomplish anything until that is dealt with. And I'll be honest with you, as a member of the media for the majority of my adult life, I don't even know how they can solve the problem, because they're too far gone. Every example I've shown you in the show is the media all hook, line, and sinker in for the left. They are just puppets of the left. And they want to tell you that you are bad and you are wrong because you dare think something different. They're silencing you on every single platform. They want you to be reprogrammed. They want to do everything they can to make you follow their belief system, their way. And I just want to remind everyone, that's actually what authoritarian fascist dictators do. Mm-hmm. I want to remind everyone, Donald Trump, he was extreme. He was overly funny and sometimes vicious, rude, and mean, and cutting and biting. but he never once forced anything on anyone. He never refused to take questions from the media. He was readily available. And even when they would attack him relentlessly, he'd show up. So would Kayleigh McEnany. The only way that you will have true trust again is with true and total transparency. Now, we've already seen CNN can't do that. We've already seen that MSNBC can't do that. But it better start sometime soon, or we're in a load of trouble. Because let me tell you, I've watched the press briefings now 2 days in a row for this new Biden administration, and Jen Psaki can't seem to answer one question. She can't tell you where Dr. Bricks is. She can't tell you where the Winston Churchill bust went. She can't tell you anything. Oh, she can tell you that Joe Biden's going to redecorate and get rid of the Diet Coke button. But she can't tell you any facts. That's a huge problem. All right, coming up, we've got a great guest with us, Assemblywoman Annie Black. She is on fire, and she is going to be taking Carson City in the palm of her hands. I think everybody on the right and the left is freaked out about this woman because she is there to get things done. And we're going to talk to her about the state of the state, the budget, all these tax proposals by teachers union, and so much more right after this break.
This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire.
How about new?
No.
No way.
Come on, no.
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 No. No.
Only Discover has no annual fee on any card.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020.
My love for the Alien Ant Farm version of Smooth Criminal and the video really knows no bounds, but that's not why I chose it to kick off this segment. Because, you know, they say repeatedly, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? And the one thing I do know is that Annie Black is A-okay, and she is going to do more than okay when she gets to Carson City in just a few days. She is my next guest, the Republican Assemblywoman here. Thank you, Annie, so much for joining us here today.
Hi, thank you for having me. Man, you're on fire. I love it.
I am in a continual state of anger, it seems, these days, and just calling everything out. But I wanted to talk. I'm so glad to have you on the show because, of course, the session is starting in about a week. February 1st is when it all begins. And earlier today, I got some information that I thought was really interesting. I wanted to get your feedback on this right away. It looks like Cannizzaro and Frierson, who are the heads of the Senate and the Assembly, have said that at this point, they're not going to support the tax initiatives that the teachers union wanted, which was a gaming tax and raising our sales tax, stating, you know what? Don't really think it's the right time for this. I think this is like a minor, tiny little win for us because I really hated what the teachers union wanted to do there. Are you surprised by this?
What I'm actually surprised is that we have the two top leaders in the Democrat Party coming out against these tax increases, but not our entire Assembly and Senate caucus on the Republican side. I know myself, when I heard about those taxes, I was immediately a hard no on that. But I think it's disappointing that we have Democrats coming out against those taxes before all of our Republicans do.
Yeah. And I want to talk to you about the Republican response to everything. And we'll just kind of do a deep dive into that right now. You know, the state of the state with Governor Sisolak was on Tuesday, and every single TV station, all the networks gave the entire time, the entire allotment to, you know, Governor Sisolak. And normally in these cases, after a state of the state, you immediately have a response from the Republican Party. But many stations chose to just air maybe like a minute of it and tell you where to find it over on YouTube, or they put it in their news stations, you know, digital stories that you could click and watch. It wasn't that bad of a response, but is it a good response at all if literally no one heard about it? I mean, I told people about it and it was the first they'd even heard about it. What can we say about the Republican response to things like this? Well, what do you think of it?
I think in general, the Republicans need to do better with their communications. I mean, it just proves that time and time again, we fail to communicate. I know that I found out about it through the YouTube channel by the caucus Twitter, but how many people follow that? I don't know. We just in general need to do a better job at our communications, which I've been harping on that for a long time. So.
Yeah, when I did my newscast about 24 hours later after it dropped, it still hadn't even had 1,000 views. So that's pretty abysmal. I also noticed that over at Channel 8, my former station, they went to go and get a response from Steve Sisolak's State of the State from local lawmakers. They went to Cannizzaro, a Democrat, Jason Frierson, a Democrat, the Nevada Association of School Superintendents, Brian Rippert, the president of the Nevada State Education Association Union, Annette Magnus, who's part of Battleborn Progress, a socialist, Mary Beth Sewell, who heads up the Las Vegas Chamber. That's no Republican response whatsoever, Annie. Why aren't Republicans even being asked to give their point of view? Why do we only hear from the liberal left and lobbying units that are just there to brown nose and kiss butt?
I think because we're waiting around to be asked. We need to just take the bull by the horns and be out there being vocal and communicating our message effectively, whether they ask us or not, but we don't. We fail to do that every single time. And it's very disappointing. It's been disappointing through the entire shutdown. We should have been shouting from the rooftops during this entire time. All the Republicans should have. Get our state back open. Get our state back open. And they haven't been doing it. And so I can't really say that I'm surprised. We just kind of have this trend of letting people walk all over us.
There has been a deafening silence about reopening. I mean, I was furious that Sisolak didn't even use those words, we need to reopen. And I mean, when Cuomo, and I hate Cuomo, but when I have to give Cuomo props for saying, you know, we can't really do this lockdown anymore. I mean, there was so much hypocritical nonsense in what Cuomo said, but at least he uttered the words. We didn't even get that from Sisolak.
I think even Lori Lightfoot said something to that effect, right? Which yes, is kind of interesting because everyone was saying that was what was going to happen as soon as the election was over. It's time to reopen the economy, right?
Oh, we knew it was going to happen. And we know that it's all based on they want their federal dollars and they think Biden's just going to write them a check. But that's why I love what you're doing right now, because you do have a petition out there to try to influence Governor Sisolak to reopen. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm working on a petition. Basically, what we're doing is we're trying to collect as many signatures from Nevada residents as we can before January 24th. Then I'm going to print off all of the petition signatures and hand deliver them to all of our senators and all of our assembly people on the first day of the legislature to let them know that we are, in fact, ready to get this ship back on course and get back to work. So
we've only got a couple more days to get people to sign on board with that.
Yep. And they can go to my website, electannieblack.com. And there's a link right there. And then there's a link to all my newsletters that I've been putting out. So we're trying to stay on top of the news and always keep our people informed of what's going on.
And some people might go, well, what's a petition going to do? In dramatic fashion, can it go and change things? Not necessarily, but when you show all of these lawmakers, we're a state of 3 million people. If you have 2 million signatures on there saying, open us up, that will have an impact on what these legislators choose to do.
100%. It might not be, a recall, but I think it's in one place, signatures. It's not a phone call here or an email there. It's one place, a lot of signatures, a lot of people that are saying, we're tired of being shut down. We're tired at our restaurants or of our restaurants being at 25%. We want to reopen our economy. And it's an actual tangible thing that people can see. And hopefully it makes a difference. I mean, it's better than doing nothing, right?
Oh, 100%. I saw today just a little while ago as well that a group of wineries and restaurants in California are actually suing Governor Newsom because of what has happened in that state and the way that Newsom has devastated it. I will say that I'm honestly immensely surprised that we have not seen more outrage from restaurant owners, private businesses because of this. Now, again, I have to admit, we're not as locked down as California, thank God. But I've been surprised. I wonder if you have too, just the lack of fury and fire to change things from really the majority of Nevadans.
I've been surprised for pretty much since the beginning of this that people have kind of taken it laying down. I'm with you on that. I figured long ago people would have said, enough of this. If you don't like me opening up my business, come over here and shut me down. But in the meantime, they're functioning at 25% and barely able to hang on, which means they may end up closed anyways. So you might as well go out with a fight, right? I mean, that's how I would do it, but.
Why do you think so many of them are scared of either the Clark County Commission coming after them or being in Cilex crosshairs? Why do you think there is such fear and apprehension?
Well, you got to think about it. They've already been closed down for, we were on a hard close down, like an actual lockdown for quite a while. Then it's been, you know, different levels of occupancy. They're already struggling as it is. I think that they're, for the majority, just thinking, if I keep my head down and just try to survive this, then hopefully someday we'll open and I can get back to things. And I think they're just in survival mode, frankly. And they feel like they just have to do what they have to do to survive. Plus they have employees that they care about that are relying on them. And if they get shut down, it's not just their jobs, it's people that are relying on them and their families. And that's a big weight on your shoulders to be thinking of others.
Oh, I 100% agree. I just have the fear that sometimes we tread water because like, if we tread water, it's just going to be okay. But eventually, if you tread water for too long, you get tired and you'll sink just as well. It won't help you survive the long term. And I think that's been the frustration. You know, we're almost to a year of this COVID nonsense where it was 15 days to flatten the curve. And here we are a year later. And Biden says, well, just 100 more days of this mask wearing. Oh, in 100 days, maybe these kids will get back to school as soon as the school year's over. It's asinine. Governor Sisolak, too, in his state of the state, and when we looked at his budget, it looked like a lot of his focus was on vaccinating Nevadans, getting kids back in the classroom, growing infrastructure, energy economy nonsense. The one thing I didn't hear was anything about election integrity. Dr. Titus, in her address, she did mention that, saying, you know, it's kind of abysmal that we were the Florida of 2000 this year, that it took us days to get our results. I know there's opinions all over the place, but I will say this, that in the states that do all mail-in ballots on the regular, they didn't have any problems. Florida, hanging Chad state, didn't have any problems. It was the states that through their legislature ran things in overnight that didn't make any legal or constitutional or even common sense that had all the problems. And now they're kind of like, well, we won. Not going to deal with it now. Is there anything you guys are going to be able to do to fight this?
I don't know realistically what we're going to be able to do. I know that myself, my sixth BDR, I announced my final BDR is an election protection bill, and it has 15 different measures that we can implement to make our elections more secure and make sure that they're fair. And I know other legislators are, Republican legislators are going to be putting out election integrity bills. What they are, I don't know exactly. I mean, I'm hopeful that we can get somewhere. I'm pretty sure mine's not going to pass, but I'm definitely going to have it out there and be talking about all these issues, because that's part of the battle. Is it may not pass my bill, but at least we'll be talking about it and we'll be bringing up these issues so that people are aware of them going forward. And hopefully we get a little bit of traction, but I don't think, you know, as I say, Rome wasn't built in a day and we didn't get here in a day. So it's going to take us some time to fix things, unfortunately.
I think a lot of people don't understand how our state legislature works. So it begins on February 1st. It's 120 days long, and then you guys won't meet again until 2023. So these next 120 days are immensely important for the next 2 years here in the great state of Nevada. What do you think you guys are going to be able to do and accomplish to try to bring, I think at this point, the best we could ask for is even maybe a little bit of balance, because it's just in 19, it was so freaking unbalanced. It was so anti-business. It was just anti-everything. What is the goal? How are you guys going to turn just even a few things around?
Well, my goal is to, you know, number one, I think first and foremost, we really have to look at the budget. That's the thing that is looming over everyone's head right now. Although they tried to spin it and say that the governor's lowered his budget. Well, technically he's raised it because during the special session, we lowered it and it's actually higher than it was, than that budget was. So they've tried to spin it as it's a decrease, but it's actually an increase. So that's going to be the big thing, the budget. I mean, I've got some bills that I've got in the works that are spending restraint acts. I would love to see that every session from here on out, we don't blow the budget out by $1 billion like we had the last three sessions. And then, like you said, these 120 days, unfortunately, what tends to happen is, as I understand, a lot of kicking the can down the road happens at the beginning of the session. And then at the end of the session, all of a sudden it's fast and furious trying to jam a bunch of bills through. So I'm also working on another bill. It's called the Slam and Jam Prevention. And basically it would stop the legislature from being able to do that. It would give us at least 48 hours to look at these bills, for the citizens to look at the bills, and to make sure that what we're passing gets done, you know, not in Nancy Pelosi style, where we have to pass it before we know what's in it. So there's a lot to work on.
You're right. And people may not remember this, but in June of 2019, I believe 2 days before the session was supposed to end, that's when they did the unconstitutional refusing to sunset the tax without the 2/3 vote, violating the Constitution. That's when also the school district was like, oops, our bad. We need a lot more money. How much money? Several million dollars. What for? I don't really know. We just need it. It's absolute nonsense what happened in that last week in Carson City. And you're right. It looks like the general fund expenditures are at $8.6 billion, which the Democrats are saying a 2% reduction. But if I recall, the last budget for the last 2 years was at around $8.4 billion. So we're actually seeing an increase in spending. And a lot of it is in Medicaid. This was an interesting number, that the number of enrollees increased for Medicaid by more than 18%. And they project by the end of the biennium that one in four Nevadans is going to be on Medicaid. Like, I know that COVID sucked and the lockdowns, they hurt us a great deal, but we can't have one in four Nevadans on Medicaid.
Yeah, that was, frankly, that and the $10,000 that the governor was saying he was going to be able to get to some of the businesses in his state of the state address were the two things that really threw me. I mean, he seemed so proud that he was going to be able to get businesses $10,000 and we were going to be able to support more people on Medicaid. And I just thought, this is so outrageous. It's so simple. Just open up the economy, let people get back to work, and we don't have to do any of this. We don't need more people on Medicaid. We don't want it. Businesses don't want a $10,000 handout. They want to get back to work. So the fact that he was just so proud of himself, or appeared to be so proud of that, was really, frankly, infuriating, because it's just ridiculous.
I agree. It was something like $50 million for small businesses. Yeah. And it was a slap in the face when in the 2019 session, they passed more than 60 anti-business bills that actually hurt small businesses. It doesn't make any sense. He's also allocating, it was either, I can't find the number here, $20 or $30 million to UNLV for their medical school to try to fix our doctor shortage. I don't know why there hasn't been more criticism of that. Well, I'm all for getting the medical school up and running. That's not going to like magically go like, oh, look, here's all this money. Now there's all these doctors and our healthcare problems are solved. That's right. Not going to happen.
Well, and I'm not by no means an expert on this, but I did sit on the LVGEA board for a while. And we talked about that, about the medical school. And although it would be great to have a medical school, from what I understand, the problem is that a lot of the doctors will graduate from medical school. They'll go off to do their internships. We don't, or whatever that's called, their residencies. We can't do that here. So generally when where a doctor goes to do that, that's where they'll end up staying. So hypothetically, we could be training them here. Statistically, they're going to leave. They're going to go work somewhere else and study there. And then that's where they'll stay.
And this is where we need a better press, a better media, because if any media personality had come out and said those exact words, that building the school does not guarantee that the doctors come here because they still go for the residencies and the better paying jobs in California and Arizona and Utah, that while this is a grandiose gesture, it is nothing more than narrative and a gesture, and it does nothing to change our situation here, where we are in last place when it comes to medical, last place when it comes to schools, last place when it comes to freaking everything here in the union, right here in Nevada. Before I let you go, I do want to give you a quick chance to talk quickly about schools. I am appalled that we are not reopened. I am appalled that we are not listening to science. I am appalled that the teachers union are using this as an opportunity to get even more things for them and just don't give a rat's about the kids. What are you guys going to be able to do for education as Republicans up there?
Well, I mean, the great news is we're out of the super minority, but Republicans are still in the minority. So I don't know exactly what we're going to be able to do. I guess it really just depends if the Republicans are going to be able to hang together and if we can get some people from across the aisle. But me personally, I would love to see, you know, everything us conservatives fight for, which is parental choice, money following the students, charter schools, homeschools, whatever we need to do to get our kids back in school, not only in school, but so that our education isn't dreadfully failing the way that it is, because we can't keep going the way that we're going. Our kids are only falling farther and farther behind this year. And then, you know, I can tell you, my kid's been in school. I signed him up for a little private school since we shut down. They've had two-week closures, but for the rest of the time they've been open, the kids have been fine. And, you know, so it works. People are doing it. It can be done. And we just got to get our kids back in school because it's affecting their mental health. Like I said, they're falling farther and farther behind and we can't afford to keep them out of school any longer.
My kids have been in school since June. Not one COVID case in either of their classes. So everyone who says it's so dangerous can really just stick it. I don't need science. I have my own life to prove these kids need to be back in the classroom. Annie, I'm excited that you're up there. I'm excited what you're doing. I hope you will join us again because this show is making a huge commitment over the next 120 days when this session starts to keep people informed, because I'm sick and tired of all these bills happening in June and everyone goes, I didn't even know that was happening. What did they do? We've got to get people informed. So I hope you will keep us informed and I hope you'll join us again, Annie.
Anytime. I would love to. Okay, keep up the good work. I love your energy. It's killer. I love it. Keep going.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that so much. You have a fantastic day and a safe drive up there this weekend, okay?
Thank you. See ya.
All right. All right. Well, we've got more Michelle Mortensen Show coming up because it's time to look at the freaks of the week. And you know they're going to be good. And my intro song into the break is a little clue as to one person who's on the list.
Oh, here. Mama's got some treats for you. Oh, here, kitty, kitty.
Yes!
Yes?
Yes?
Yes, sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes.
Discover. Accepted at 99% of places in the U.S.
I said, ooh,
I'm drowning in the night.
Oh, when I'm like this, you're the one in my life.
My new money goal? Refinance, free up cash, turn my spare room into a recording studio.
Discover and compare the smartest credit cards, mortgage lenders, and more, so you can make your money goals happen on NerdWallet.
Your whole team can see your upper thigh. Pour that smooth roast and aim that camera up high.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Oh, I got the stories that you're just going to go crazy for as we examine this week's Freak of the Week.
What a freak show.
Oh, I got all the freak shows for you, and I love it. All right, freak show number one is a guy who really likes Boris Johnson. Check this out. He got a tattoo of the British Prime Minister right there on his tum-tum. Actually, the bottom of his chin, that's his belly button. Ugh. Why would Kenny Wildling, 42 years old, do this? Well, he's got a family member who unfortunately has stage 4 rectal cancer, and he just thought this was a great way to raise money, because nothing says, hey, give me money for my sick and dying relative more than putting Boris Johnson on your stomach, on your gut. No idea how much he's raised with this great idea. Someone should tell him about GoFundMe. A lot less painful. I imagine that wasn't fun. Freak of the Week number two. Well, is it Gwyneth Paltrow and her vagina-scented candle? Or is it the lady who won one and lit it and then almost burnt up her entire home? Oh my God, so much freakness to go over here. First off, why does Gwyneth Paltrow have a vagina-scented candle that is allegedly described as funny, gorgeous, sexy, and beautifully unexpected? And why would you light it? Because you're like, God, nothing would smell better than being just like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina. But she lit it, and then a 50-centimeter flame came out of it, creating an eternal flame of fire burning down her family room. Evidently, Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina is the eternal flame the Bengals used to sing about.
Is this burning an eternal flame?
Oh, yeah. You knew I had to go there. You will never think of that song the same way ever again. How did Gwyneth and Goop make this up to the poor lady? They said, well, you know, we vet these products that we sell, and we've alerted the manufacturer to this problem. We also sent the lady some Goop products to help her during quarantine. Well, dang, that just made it all better. I mean, God, people are stupid. All right, our third freak of the week is one of my favorite people. Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. Because see, the Tiger King was so convinced that he was going to get pardoned this week. I mean, he was convinced. They had a stretch like Humvee limo ready to pick him up, makeup crew, blah, blah, blah. It didn't happen though. And now Joe Exotic, who evidently from prison gets to go on Twitter, tweeted this. I was too innocent and too gay to deserve a pardon from Trump. Sure. It was about you being gay. That's exactly it. Yeah. I only mattered to Dan Jr. when he needed to make a comment about me to boost his social media posts. Boy, were we all stupid to believe he actually stood for equal justice. His corrupt friends all come first. I mean, Lil Wayne got one. Randos he's never met or heard from got him. But really, we do have to remember that as much as I love Joe Exotic and as much as I wanted him to get out because that Netflix show would have been amazing, he is a part of a murder for hire part, but plot. But, you know, Carol Baskin killed her husband and she got on with Dancing with the Stars. This Joe Exotic is the proof of the world that you've ever needed that life just freaking ain't fair. But believe it or not, that is not my top freak of the week. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's a bigger one. And she's a reporter from Bloomberg named Christy Smythe. Though she's not a reporter anymore. Watch this video to find out why.
He was the villain everybody hated.
Christy Smythe was one of the reporters who broke the story of Martin Shkreli's arrest in 2015. She says that over time, the two fell in love and that Shkreli is simply misunderstood.
he's just a very, very eccentric person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't play well in public, especially in negative light. He is phenomenally intelligent and charismatic, but also has no emotional intelligence and very little common sense and is very awkward.
Hmm. So that's why you left your husband for him and decided to date him in jail. In case you don't remember who Shkreli is, let me show you this quick video. Do you want me to hit that one? You got it. Okay, hit the video.
Martin Shkreli was named the most hated man in America after jacking up prices on life-saving drugs to make a profit. Martin made a ton and spent a ton. He was the mystery buyer of a $2 million Wu-Tang Clan hip-hop album in 2015. Cash rules everything around me. But he took his money-making a step too far, raising the price of a popular cancer and AIDS drug by 5,000% overnight. Everyone from doctors to TV pundits to presidential candidates were outraged.
That's price gouging, pure and simple.
He looks like a spoiled brat to me.
Martin said he had to do it, saying half his customers got the drug for free.
For us to try to exist and maintain a profit, I think is pretty reasonable.
He even promised to cut the price. But a few months later, Martin had an even bigger problem. The feds came after him for securities fraud. They accused him of repeatedly losing money for investors and illegally using one company to pay off another's debts.
So he's a real winner. Like when Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton agree on something and the agreement is that Shkreli is a total dirtbag, like the worst person on the planet, you know he's bad. Yet this Bloomberg reporter, who now no longer works for Bloomberg, fell in love with him. Let's play Pharma Boy 3.
He talked about me freezing my eggs. And after, you know, he suggested that that could be a possibility, I said, okay, sure. I'll go ahead and try it. I'll look into it and see about that. And I did it, and I'm really glad I did it.
Did he say the words to you, I want to have children with you?
Yes.
Okay. It gets worse. This is why she's a freak show. It gets worse. So Elle Magazine uncovered all this like in December. And so they go to Shkreli for comment on their relationship. And this is what Shkreli gives them. Mr. Shkreli wishes Miss Smythe the best luck in her future endeavors. What an a-hole! Are you kidding me? He has an affair with her in prison. She leaves her husband for him, freezes her freaking eggs, and his attitude is like, I wish her the best in her future endeavors. Oh my gosh, this little twit is the worst. Here's the problem. She now says like, no, we made up. It's all cool. Listen.
What do you say to people who say, you've been brainwashed. He's using you. He's manipulated you.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. This is why every teenager who's watching this is why your parents worry about who you date. Because you can fall for a freaking idiot and truly ruin your life. That is the biggest freak show thing I've seen in my entire year. Can't say my entire life. I've seen some freaky things. Remember, I did interview a man who married his sex doll. So, you know, but the fact that she's on this list with him says a lot. No, I think it does. All right. That is our time for today. But there is more Michelle Mortensen show to come to you on Monday at noon. Be sure on Mondays through Thursdays as well to tune in right here for what you need to know. It's the news you need, the news you want, none of the crap and a little bit of humor in about 5 minutes or less. So no longer a need to listen to that mainstream media nonsense. I'll give you what you need to know so that you're at least, you know, up to speed. All right. Can't do this show without my amazing director and producer, Spencer. We will see you back here on Monday. Thanks for joining us. Time to get real.